Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Where's you living in? Take a look around. At least you got friends. I call my old lady. Old friendly word. She picked up the phone. Chopped it on the floor. That's all I heard.
What the heck is Prince doing here on the Dom Giordano program? Well, our next guest is from Minnesota. I'll see if there's an accent. And Prince is arguably, I guess, the most famous person ever from Minnesota. It's going to be pretty hard to beat a guy that has one name, Prince.
Well, not a hockey player, right?
Well, who's the most famous hockey player?
There's got to be some, because those Golden Gophers are incredible.
Yeah, but I don't think they beat Prince as far as fame from a state.
Check with the senator. Maybe he knows.
Yeah, most famous from Pennsylvania is probably Ben Franklin, I'm thinking, right?
Bill Cosby?
More famous than Ben Franklin?
Infamous, maybe, now?
Yeah, no, he wasn't as famous as Ben Franklin. No. That, you got to go a little bit to do that. Let's go to State Senator and Dr. Scott Jensen in Minnesota. Hey, Doctor, welcome in. Thank you for joining us today in Philadelphia.
Thank you. It's my pleasure. And I'm still disappointed that Philadelphia Eagles have been tough on the Minnesota Vikings, but I'll forgive you.
Hey, well, you have great fans. I want you to know we're not all like some Eagles fans here. You know what I mean? They roughed up the boys a little bit. They didn't like the Viking helmet or whatever they did on Rocky there. That's going to get a lot of blowback, you know?
It's nice to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you, and thanks for what you've done here. Now, what I've seen out there, and we mentioned this to people, but actually hearing from you is great, and then the follow-up on this, you get this, what was it, seven-page or so directive, and Dr. Burks, nationally, Dr. Jensen, has said this, you just presume that everything is the coronavirus, right? Is that what the rub is that you're exposing here?
Yeah, we're engaging in a lunacy. Seriously, Dr. Burks comes out and says, you don't die with COVID-19, you die from it. So basically, she's saying, if you've got it, it's basically your cause of death. And my response is, okay, you get hit by a bus, they take you to the emergency room, and the first hour you're there, they do some blood tests, because of the paranoia, they check you for COVID-19, they do blood tests, and do chest x-rays, CAT scans. They find out that you've got a collapsed lung, you have a positive COVID-19 status, and everything else looks a little shaky, your hemoglobin's down, and an hour later you die. And they say, yep, you died of COVID-19. No, he didn't. He died of a bus accident. A bus ran over him.
Yeah, blunt force. Right.
I feel like the policy leaders are asking us just to sort of paralyze our brain and not think for ourselves. America is an engaged population of people, and we do think for ourselves, and we don't buy into some of the groupthink that the politicians do.
No, and you know what's surprising? Because I gave up until I saw what you said and what Dr. Burks said. I liked a lot of what she said versus some of the others. I'm not a big fan of the Surgeon General. I've had him on a couple times. He was pitiful on the wear of the covering and everything else. Is it intentionality to do this? What's the kindest way of looking at what they're doing? Is it, well, we know better? They're not really trying to drive the numbers up artificially, do you think?
Well, I don't think they have the opportunity in their positions to drive the numbers up. I think the numbers are being reported upwards, but I don't think there's any question that at the lower levels, numbers will be inflated. You'll have patients that have been on hospice care for perhaps months with their death being, if you will, sometime in the next week or two, and all of a sudden a roommate two doors down will get COVID-19 and they'll call it a COVID-19 death. There's dollars involved, there's ethics involved, and nobody wants to be wrong. So if you've got a projection or a model that calls for, you know, just a true catastrophe, I think human nature is that you might try to dry lab it. I mean, I think we do that a lot in college classes. Sometimes you'll work backwards. And so I don't think there's any question that human nature will try to massage the numbers, the statistics to say what you want them to say. But I think the dollar question is really interesting. If I admit a patient, a Medicare patient, to the hospital and just diagnose pneumonia, the diagnosis-related group payment, the lump sum payment the hospital will receive with, for that patient, will be about $4,500. But if I put pneumonia COVID-19, it triples. It goes to $13,000. And then Go ahead. I missed that.
Yeah, I'm sorry. What I'm saying is I think we broke the code here a little bit. And I guess they would say, well, we need the money anyhow. And, you know, who knows with this. Our death certificates, I heard you say, I think, they're not to terms of art. They are things that you have to be scientific on. You know, you're not allowed to make gut instincts on these.
Exactly. The death certificate is an inviolable document that it should not be subject to profaning it with hunches or maybes or presumptive. I think it's reasonable to think this. That's not what a death certificate is. A death certificate determines whether or not a life insurance company might have to pay off on a death. It determines estate planning. It determines future generations learn from it if there's a chromosomal abnormality or something like that. It's supposed to be the facts, nothing else, the facts. You don't presume, you don't let your innate biases enter in.
So, with all that being said, I know many people like me in the show, we're celebrating what you've done here because it's sober and direct and I think correct. But are you getting blowback in any corners, like your own medical people or something like that in Minnesota?
A little bit. I had someone, I'm a professor, I'm an associate professor at the University of Minnesota Medical School, and I got a tweet the other day that someone wants me to be removed from the faculty. And that's fine. I get that. People are upset. But you know, it's really been pretty heartwarming. I have had physicians call from outstate, all over the country, reaching out saying, thank you for bringing the light of day to this process. Physicians don't like it when political types try to impact what we do when it comes to patient care. And really, the last thing we do for a patient in many situations is appropriately and accurately complete the death certificate. I mean, I take care of a lot of patients for decades and decades, and sometimes the last time I see their chart is when I'm completing the death certificate. And to think that I'm potentially being influenced by someone who has an underlying agenda, but I never meet that person. They just send me a link for a 7-page document. That's concerning. Now, I'm not saying it's intentional, but it's concerning. Americans need to know that kind of stuff goes on.
And here's why we need to know it too, Doctor, and I wanted to ask you your thoughts on this. We need to know it, accurate count, A, as you know, to keep the idea of confidence in what we're being told, but long-term or short-term, hopefully, we need to know this. And I had a top doc in Philadelphia on today who's the health commissioner. He couldn't give me any kind of metric or any kind of way of knowing when we can go back to work. So each death and this presumption of death cuts against Americans being able to go back to work at some point.
If they can scare you enough, they can paralyze your brain. And at that point in time, they'll come in and say, we know you're frightened. Follow us. We'll lead you through this. BS.
Absolutely. So people that want to see what you've been saying, is there a website? Is there a place you put this? Because I know I'm already getting emails when we knew you were going to be on. How do they connect with this and see what you're saying? Because they want to parse it for themselves and be armed against those who tell them there's no people like you out there challenging some of this stuff.
Well, the best way to do it is just to, I'm not really a techie guy, and so I've learned a lot more about social media than I ever intended to. But the best thing to do is just ask me to friend you on Facebook. Otherwise, you can go to Senator Scott Jensen. I've got a personal Facebook page and a Senator Scott Jensen Facebook page. And I probably do 5-6 videos a week, and you'll see other things. And I post articles, and I'm pretty blunt. I'm not running for reelection. And I've been pretty clear with people. I'm not an expert epidemiologist, and I'm not a cardiac surgeon, and I'm not an infectious disease guy, but I'm a family doc in the trenches for 35 years. I've been a medical director of emergency rooms. I've been medical directors of nursing homes. I've been doing death certificates for 35 years. I teach at the medical school. I get challenged by residents and young medical students, so they make me keep thinking. And so I think, along with the Senate experience, I have a voice that maybe is the voice of a bunch of different hats. But am I the brightest bulb in any of these areas? No, I'm just a guy.
Well, you're more than a guy, though, of what you put out there, this challenge to us. And I think it is worthy. You haven't gotten any response, though, from people like Dr. Birx or others, I assume.
No, I didn't. I would like to. I think one of the questions that was asked the other day in a press conference might have come from a video that I made with Chris Berg on Tuesday night, where I made it clear that I thought that the CDC instructions for completing death certificates was problematic on multiple levels. And so someone asked Dr. Fauci, and he sort of blew anybody off. I guess maybe he was blowing me off, saying that he said, you'll always have these conspiracy people. That's just a distraction. And I would tell him, be careful. You're going to be lumping an awful lot of America into some sort of a conspiracy theory. But he went on a few minutes later to say that we should never shake hands again because maybe we could reduce the influenza. And I, at that point in time, he lost a little credibility for me. I mean, I appreciate what he's doing. He's working hard. But some of the things he said, they just sound like a little he's locked away in an ivory tower. And he's in an echo chamber.
I agree completely. Not only that, you know, my job is expertise in communications. You come across as a down-to-earth, sober guy with a lot of different experience in areas that are important. And you're drilling down in this one area. You're not going wild out there in other areas at all, and yet the only comeback are these flippant conspiracy types of things. I think it's not some big plot, but the tendency is to go to get caught up in this, doctor, as you've said, and to go with this overcounting of it, and then the public starts to think how much overcounting is going on with this.
Absolutely, and I appreciate you saying that. I'm just going to comment. You know, I said before that if you get admitted to the hospital with pneumonia, COVID-19, you get $13,000. But if you get put on a ventilator, then the hospital gets $39,000. And there was an article on social media a few days ago where they talked about, would there be value to prophylactic ventilation? So what you do is you got someone in the hospital, they're not doing well, but they're not doing terrible, but they're getting tired and they're short of breath. Well, is it such a leap that we would say, gee, maybe we should just give you a nap for 6 hours? We'll intubate you, we'll breathe for you with a ventilator, try to get you some energy in that. I mean, physicians can make those kind of decisions because we can be very convincing when we need to be. Now, I'm not trying to impugn anybody's ethics. I'm just saying that's a possibility. And then when you see an article about prophylactic or preventive ventilator use, and you know that it goes from 13,000 to 39,000, then you got to say, did we somewhere along the line create a perverse incentive that might end up being a bad thing? I don't think that we should go crazy when someone says that. We should just think about it.
Well put, doctor. Thank you very, very much. Love to have you back in Philadelphia, and we'll take it easy on the Vikings this year. By the way, Ezekiel Emanuel told our local news today, can't have an Eagles season. He's ruled on that. Can you imagine if you said that out in Vikings country?
Wow.
Yeah, you can check it out. Yeah, exactly. I can imagine. Hey, doctor.
We have a panic pandemic.
I love that line. That is very, very apt. Doctor, thank you. Thanks for joining us. We'd love to call upon you again.
Feel free to. Thank you much, and have a good day.
Tom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.